Good afternoon, dear family members. As I began preparing today's lesson from John, my eye caught a song sheet which was lying by my table with a hymn about Jesus. It is so appropriate as it refers to our Lord and His miracles along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Let me read the first verse and the refrain to you. The title of this hymn is The Stranger of Galilee. So, the first verse. In fancy I stood by the shore one day of the beautiful murmuring sea. I saw the great clouds as it thronged the way of the stranger of Galilee. I saw how the man who was blind from birth in a moment was made to see. The lame was made whole by the matchless skill of the stranger of Galilee. And I felt I could love him forever, so gracious and tender was he. I claimed him that day as my Savior, the stranger of Galilee. Well, today we are going to learn more about our wonderful Lord from studying John's Gospel, chapter 10. So, let us begin with prayer. Our dear Lord Jesus, we thank the Father for sending you. You are not a stranger to us anymore. You showed us your hands and your wounded side, and you whispered it was all for you. Our burdens of sin fell off at your pierced feet, Lord Jesus, our Savior from Galilee. We so much want to know of you, Lord Jesus. Teach us by your Spirit as we open our Bibles and our hearts and minds to the Spirit's leading. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Good. Now let us open our Bibles to chapter 10 of John's Gospel. You will remember that when we left last week, we saw that the Lord Jesus had fellowship with the man who had been excommunicated by the Pharisees because they could not explain why and how he was healed. And then the Lord Jesus found him and had fellowship with him. And the closing verses of chapter 9 saw the Lord saying a few stern words about the Pharisees being blind. So here we are in chapter 10, and it is appropriate, as I said last week, that we should study chapter 10 because the close of chapter 9 provides a contrast to chapter 10. The contrast will be made between false shepherds, that is the Pharisees, and the true shepherd, our Lord Jesus. Now, talking about shepherds and sheepfolds, let me say a few words by way of introduction. If you talk to the Jews about shepherds and sheepfolds, where the sheep is kept, you'll be like talking to Singaporeans about hawkers and hawker centers, because they're very familiar with them, but we are not. So let me do a bit of explanation. A shepherd in Jesus' day would be wearing a cotton tunic held together by a leather belt, upon which he would hang a leather pouch to carry some dried fruit or small stones for the sling that always hung around his belt. Now this sling was used not only to ward off predators, but also to herd, to drive wandering sheep. Because the experienced shepherd would be so good, so precise in the use of the sling, that he would be able to drop a stone right in front of the nose of a sheep that was straying, and the sheep would be frightened and then draw back to the flock. Another item attached to the belt of the shepherd was a horn of oil. Now, oil was used to anoint the heads of the sheep in the flock, not only as an insect repellent, but also to reduce the friction that occurred when two sheep butt their heads against each other. And then, attached to the shepherd's belt was a small club-like instrument. It is called a rod. That was used to fight off wild animals when they come close to the sheep. I did not know this, but the rod was also used as an instrument for correction. For if a lamb continually, persistently wandered away from the flock, the shepherd would use the rod to break its legs. Then he would put the lamb on his shoulders and carry it until its legs healed. When at last the lamb was again able to walk on its own, because of the bonding that took place during the time the shepherd carried the lamb on his shoulders, it would never again wander away. Isn't that a beautiful illustration? Finally, in his hand, the shepherd held a staff, a large stick, 7 or 8 feet long, with a hook at one end with which the shepherd could hook the lambs or sheep that are going in the wrong direction. Well, you remember this particular verse in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So, with this picture of the Middle Eastern shepherd in mind, then Jesus began his what he was going to tell them about himself and his relationship to the sheep. So let me now read chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear the voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So Jesus began with the words, truly, truly. In Greek it is Amen, Amen. Now, the Lord Jesus uses this at least 25 times in this Gospel. And when he uses it, it tells us that he's going to say something that is going to be important for us to learn, to hear. The teaching of the Good Shepherd was prompted by the religious leaders who put the beggar out or excommunicated him from the synagogue. This was a man who was born blind, and he was a true sheep, but the false shepherds discarded him. But the true shepherd, the good shepherd, found him. So Jesus brought to the attention of all of us and to those whom he was addressing the duty of spiritual mentors. We are under shepherds, under the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus. So just like the Lord, we must always look after those who are weak among the sheep. Now, Jesus mentions the sheepfold. So I must explain about the sheepfold. He talks about the sheepfold as a place where the sheep are kept safe from thieves and robbers. Of course, meaning the Pharisees who are false shepherds. And there are, in the Lord's time, two types of sheepfold. The first kind is found in the countryside and not in the towns. It was nothing more than a circle of rocks into which the sheep could be driven for the night. There was no door, just an opening, and across this opening the shepherd would place himself. Even during the night he would sleep across the doorway. This is the kind of sheepfold that Jesus is thinking about when he says, I am the door of the sheep. And you will read that in verse 7. Now, the second kind is more organized, and this is found in a village. It is a larger sheepfold, and it's a common property, not of one sheep owner, but of local farmers and sheep herders. Now, this sheepfold was protected by a wall about 10 or 12 feet high. When the night came, a number of different shepherds, because this was common property, you see, a number of different shepherds would lead their flocks up to the door of the fold, through which they passed, leaving them in the care of the doorkeeper, the porter, or as the English Standard Version says, the watchman, who will, of course, lie on the ground throughout the night, ready to protect the sheep against thieves and robbers or against wild animals which might climb the walls. Now, in the morning, the different shepherds returned. The porter would allow each one to enter through the door, and the shepherd would call his sheep by name. The sheep would respond to his voice. And this is remarkable, isn't it? The sheep responds to the shepherd's voice, and he would lead them out to pasture. Now, in our lesson, this is what the Lord uses as an illustration of his relationship to his sheep. So, going back to our verse 1 and verse 2, let me read that again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, the sheepfold here, please understand, is not heaven, because thieves and robbers do not climb up into heaven. And the sheepfold here is not the church, because the shepherd does not lead his sheep out of the church. No. The sheepfold here is clearly a symbol of the Jewish religion, Judaism, a very formalized form of religion, as you know by now, having read the other chapters before chapter 10. And in this sheepfold of Judaism are found some of God's own people, God's elect, and they are waiting to be found. And the contrast pointed out in these opening verses, verse 1 and 2, is to show us the difference between the true shepherd and the false ones, between Christ and the Pharisees, in other words. The door here must not be confused with the door of verse 9, which we are going to come to. The door here is the door of the Old Testament teaching. It tells us that the sheepfold here contains the sheep who are kept in Judaism by their obedience to the law. From young, they are taught the Mosaic law. They are taught the Torah. And therefore, the shepherd enters this sheepfold quite lawfully, because he is the great shepherd. And this enclosure is the law of the Old Testament, and contains the sheep which are in there because they are members of the synagogue, because their families are Jews. But there are among them, this sheep, those who are truly following the Old Testament. So, the verse continues, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The simple meaning is this, that Christ himself to Israel is entering in a lawful manner. That is, he's entering in strict accord with the Holy Scriptures. Because Christ answered to all that was written of the Messiah, and he was sent by God to present himself to his people. For example, from the Old Testament, he had been born of a virgin of the covenant people, of the stock of Judah, and in David's royal city, Bethlehem. You remember the hymn, David's royal city? And he had conformed to everything which God required of a true Israelite. He had been born under the law. You can find this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. He was born under the law. He was circumcised on the eighth day. And he was purified when he went with his mother for purification. And he was presented to God in the temple. So in everything, Jesus confirmed to the Jews of his day that he was the Messiah whom the prophets had prophesied. Verse 2 reads, "But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." Now the shepherd has no fear of being recognized. He wishes to be seen, and he uses the entrance. The thief is the one who covers up his real intention, and he sneaks in when he will be least detected. The thief is full of guile and hypocrisy. Now, you recall that the Pharisees even challenged the Lord Jesus in verse 40 of the previous chapter. Let me read verse 40 of chapter 9. "Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, 'We are not blind too, are we?' And Jesus' reply was, 'If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, "We see," your sin remains.'" So, mark very carefully what the Lord Jesus says. He calls the sheep not merely by name. He calls his own sheep by name. His own sheep were those who had been given to him by the Father from all eternity. And when he calls this sheep, all of these sheep must come to him, because it is written in John chapter 6, verse 37. Let me read to you now. John chapter 6, verse 37. "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." So this is the certainty of it, the election, the grace of the Father. Now these sheep then were the elect of God among Israel. Not to the whole nation of Israel, mind you. Because Christ's real ministry was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That these lost sheep were not the whole nation is quite clear from the 26th verse of this chapter. Let me go ahead to read verse 26 of chapter 10. "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep." Then verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So that's quite clear. It's not the whole house of Israel. It's all that the Father has given him. So these sheep then are the elect of God among Israel. Then this lordship are the ones who respond to the call of the shepherd. The others will not know because they are not called. And we find the shepherd saying to the unbelieving Israelis, as we read just now, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep." So the sheep then are those whom Christ called during the days of his earthly ministry, whom he led out of Judaism, out of the world of a dead and formal religion. There's no life in it. Now the shepherd does three things we can see from the verse. First, he allows the sheep to know that He is near by the sound of His voice. Verse 3 says that, isn't it? Then secondly, He calls the sheep by their names. And this personal touch is made very clearly, because the sheep need to know the shepherd is interested in them as individual beings. And thirdly, the shepherd leads them out of the sheepfold, out of the enclosure. Now, the sheep become more exposed and more vulnerable once they're outside the sheepfold. The sheep understands that the shepherd's presence and guidance become more necessary, because he is the assurance of their care and protection. Verse 3 teaches us that, having known them, Jesus calls his sheep, and he does it by name. That's what verse 3 says. And this is the doctrine of election. That's why you have a name to the one who is called. God elects that person for salvation. This is very prominent in John's Gospel, this doctrine. But it is not liked, because people think it is unfair of God to call someone and not another one. But that is because the whole doctrine is not understood properly, and therefore it is not often preached. But it is there in Scripture, and it must be preached, especially by someone who is serious about teaching from this Gospel. For what is the central point about what Jesus is saying in this parable of the sheep and the shepherd? It's all about election. That is the point. It is that God has given some sheep to the Lord Jesus, and that Jesus comes to the door of the sheepfold, and knowing his sheep in advance, he calls them by name and then leads them out. It's a very tender and personal thing we are learning about here. For Jesus says that the shepherd calls his own sheep by name. Has he called you by name? Being called by name, they follow him. There are a number of instances throughout the Gospels where Jesus calls his own by name. Let me give you a few examples. In Matthew's Gospel, I think in chapter 9, as Jesus was going forth from, we are told in chapter 9, he called this man by name. This man was sitting at the place where they collected taxes. He was a tax collector. And Jesus says to him, "Follow me." And Matthew followed him. That's recorded in his Gospel, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Here was a lone sheep of Christ, sitting by himself, miserably collecting taxes for the Roman government and enriching himself, but not very happy about it. The shepherd called him, and he recognized his voice and promptly followed him. And then there's another place you know very well. He came to a place, and he looked up into a tree, and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must come to your house." That is Luke chapter 19, verse 5. And here was another of the sheep called by name. The response was immediate, because we are told he made haste. He hurriedly came down and received Jesus joyfully. That's in Luke chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. And then we have read this already when we began the study of John's Gospel in chapter 1. And we read this. The day following, Jesus will go into Galilee, and he finds Philip, and he says to him, "Follow me." And this shows us that the shepherd seeks his sheep before he called them. He looked for Philip. Now, we are going to come to John chapter 11, but now let me just go ahead and tell you of another sheep who was called by name. This was the man who was dead, Lazarus. And the Lord called this particular sheep by name, "Lazarus, come forth." And the sheep at once responded. Let me give you just one more touching example of the sheep knowing his voice, and I'm referring to what is described in John's Gospel in chapter 20. You remember this lovely lady, Mary Magdalene? She visited the Savior's tomb in the early morning, and she finds the stone rolled away and the body of the Lord gone. She was so sad. She stands there weeping. And suddenly she sees the Lord Jesus standing by her, but she did not recognize him. And he spoke to her, and she thought he was the gardener. And a moment later, she knew who he was, and she called him Rabbi, Rabboni, teacher. Now, the question is, what had happened in the interval? One moment she didn't know him, the next moment she recognized him. Well, the answer is this. What enabled her to identify him was just one word from Jesus. Mary, the moment he called his sheep by name, she knew his voice. Now, this is the way it has always been, and it is how the call comes today. It is how he calls you. He knows you, of course. He knows you with all your failures and sin, but he also knows what he is going to make of you. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30, may I read that for you now? Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That means Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. And whom he predestined, this he also called. And whom he called, this he also justified. And whom he justified, this he also glorified. What shall we say then? Paul continues in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? What lovely confirming verses of the solid salvation into which Christ has called us. And this is what he intends to do, as we have just read in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30. He intends to make you to be like him, the firstborn among many brethren, to glorify you. And it is because of this that he called Mary, John, Peter, Susan, Andrew, James, whoever. Do you hear his call? It's a wonderful thing to be known personally by the great God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to him, indeed. If you are hearing Christ's call, you should respond to him quickly. To hear Christ's call is not the same as responding to emotional pressure in an evangelistic service. It is not the same as agreeing to become a member of a church. It is not agreeing to do anything. It is hearing Christ deep within your own spirit. I will tell you what it is like. It is arriving at the conviction that what the Bible says regarding your need and the love of the Lord Jesus in answer to that need is true, and that you should respond to it. Have you been sensing that? Have you been saying, yes, what I am hearing is true. I have been waiting all my life for this. This is that for which I have been made. If you have, do not make the mistake of being slow to answer Christ's call. Respond immediately, as Zacchaeus did, and many millions of others have done, and follow Jesus. He is the great shepherd. Those who follow him are not in need of any good thing. They are safe with him. Now, let me read verse 4 and 5. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. And a stranger, they simply will not follow, because but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. So when the Middle Eastern shepherd comes to the sheepfold in the morning, his sheep are all mixed up with other shepherds' sheep, and there's no brand or marking on the sheep. But how does he get the sheep that are his? Well, he calls them by name. The sheep don't have to be identified. They know the shepherd's voice. When he leaves the sheepfold with them and he goes out over a hill, his own sheep will follow him. They know him. Our Lord says in verse 4, the sheep will follow because they know his voice. It is the most wonderful thing in the world, isn't it, to know that when we give out the word of God, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus is calling his sheep. Looking at this illustration of the sheepfold, maybe we can compare the Spirit of God as the potter who does the opening, and then the sheep will hear, and our Lord will lead his sheep out of a religious system, a legal system, perhaps even out of a church which the congregation is not being fed, and they will follow him. You cannot permanently fool God's sheep. It is true that the sheep may get into a cult or some sort of an ism for a while, but the sheep will recognize the voice of the shepherd. Now there are preachers who are afraid to stand up for the truth. However, when a man preaches the word of God, the sheep will hear it and they recognize the truth. And we can depend on that because our Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice." We read that in verse 27. Now, verse 4, we read that the sheep follow him because they know his voice. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them. This word "own" is significant because it emphasizes the bond that exists between the shepherd and each of his sheep. You see, in the Middle East, the shepherds do not drive the sheep. The shepherds walk ahead and they lead the sheep, and the sheep follow them. The shepherd does not ask the sheep to go where he has not gone because he is leading them. He is the pathfinder, he is the forerunner, and he is the guardian of the way. And it's natural for the sheep to follow the shepherd. They have learned to know his voice and his watchfulness on the behalf. He will protect them from predators. Notice also the repetition of the word voice in several verses. For example, in verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice. In verse 4, the sheep follow him because they know his voice. In verse 5, a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And then further on, in verse 16, it says, I must bring them, and they will hear my voice, and they shall become one flock and one shepherd. And then in verse 27, we have read that just now, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So, are you listening to the shepherd's voice? Now, we come to verse 5. Let me read that. And a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Just want to say a few more words about this verse. This is very important. It describes a characteristic found in all of God's children, Christ's sheep. A strange shepherd they will not heed. This does not mean that they will not be fooled sometime by somebody who calls himself a shepherd. But the redeemed in Christ will not be completely giving themselves over to a false teacher. Instead, they will flee from such. Now, it is not possible to deceive God's elect, because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, let me read it for you, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance." So the Lord warns us against false teachers and false prophets that come in the end times, the times in which we are living. So how thankful we are that He has warned us about this, and how gracious of the Lord to give us this capacity to separate precious truth from rubbish. Now, let me read verse 6 and 7. "This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which He had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" Now, the listeners, many Pharisees, did not understand. So, Jesus said to them, notice the word used here, "Jesus therefore said to them again." You see, Jesus keeps coming to people again, and from time and time and time again, saying the same things until it sinks in. Have you ever resisted something which the Lord has told you, and only to hear it later from someone else or from the internet? You see, these Pharisees were so blind, they were unable to perceive our Lord's meaning. They are equally blind people today. They are well educated, they even have diplomas and degrees, and they may even be theologically trained. But unless they are born again, the Word of God is like a sealed book to them. Now, the door of the sheep, which is mentioned here, in our verse 7, let me read that. "Jesus therefore said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" Now, the door of the sheep is to be distinguished from the door of the sheepfold. The door of the sheepfold is the way by which Christ entered Judaism, in contrast to the false pastors of Israel with their own teaching. That is the door of the sheepfold. Now, the door of the sheep is Christ Himself, by which those who are elect of Israel passed out from Judaism into Christianity. The Lord had not come to restore Judaism, but to lead out His own people to Himself. That's why He's the door by which those who are elect of the Lord know the shepherd's voice, and they will go out with him. Now, Jeremiah has a passage which is foretelling this situation. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, let me read that. "Return, O faithless sons, declares the Lord, for I am a master to you, and I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Verse 15, then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding," and which is what has happened. The Christians have left the Judaism and have become part of the Church of God, are being fed by the pastors. So that is a wonderful thing that has happened in fulfillment of what the Lord has promised in Jeremiah and even elsewhere, though I do not have the time to read all that. Now, let me just say something about the door. Jesus says, "I am the door." He didn't say, "I am a door," not one of the doors. He says, "I am the door of the sheep, and everyone else is a thief." Jesus alone makes this claim. You notice that whether you read the writings of Krishna or Buddha, Confucius or Zoroaster, you will find that everyone claimed to be one of the ways in which God consciousness was manifested. But how could Jesus make such a claim? If he were only a man, his claims are preposterous, of course. On the other hand, if he is who he said that he is, and if he did what he said he would do, then they make sense. Jesus claimed to be God and to have come to earth to die for our sin. We deserve to die for our sin, both physically and spiritually. We deserve to be separated from God, but Jesus died in our place. He who was sinless accepted the guilt of our sin and died for us. No one else could do it, but he could, and he did. And so, he literally became the door by which sinful men can approach God the Father. Now, the author of the book of the Hebrews has a name for that. He put it differently. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, he called Jesus a new and living way, which is another way of saying a door. And Paul wrote also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, Paul wrote, through him we have access to the Father. Through whom? Through Jesus, the door. We have can enter into the Father's presence. Now, verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, we must, we know that this claim of Jesus to be the only way is contested, especially by those who call themselves saviors or prophets and teachers. Yet, the Christians believe that this claim of Jesus to be the door and any other claim is not true. We can examine it and we can find that it can stand examination. When Jesus said that all who came before him were thieves and robbers, he was not, of course, I hope you understand, to every teacher of ethics or religion that have ever existed. If he were, he would have been disowning or disparaging people like Moses and David and Solomon, a long line of prophets, all of them. He did not call them thieves and robbers. Jesus was not even referring to every teacher of religion outside Judaism, for not all were thieves in the sense that he intended to convey. A thief is one who steals that which does not belong to him. And since Jesus was talking about the way to God, a thief, in the sense that Jesus means it, is the one who steals Christ's honor by himself, claiming to be the way. He's the kind of person who calls men to follow him. You get me? There are two kinds of such men, according to Jesus, and that's why he uses two different words to describe them. The first word is thief. It comes from a Greek word from which we get English word kleptomaniac. It refers to one who steals cunningly or by stealth. The other word is robber. It refers to one who steals by violence. And so, if you may imagine, the word thief refers to someone who goes into a departmental store and takes off merchandise put into a bag or in his pocket. The second word, robber, will refer to one who might use guns to rob a bank. Now, in the religious world, both types can be found. The first type uses cunning, as Satan did in his approach to Eve in the garden. You remember, he told Eve, "Has God said that you shall not eat of the fruit of any tree?" In this category of thieves, all who raise doubts in the minds of others, these are, unfortunately, can be Christian ministers who have left the faith, Sunday school teachers and even professors of theology who are just intellectual people. The way they present the gospel and the way they teach the Bible, the questions they ask turn the minds of the learners, the young Christians, away from Christ, and instead cause them to rely upon the supposed wisdom of the teacher himself. These are those whom Paul has called in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. He termed them traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. From such, turn away. This is his advice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. The other type, the robber, is violent. He thrusts himself into a place of authority in the church, and he demands that others follow him. But according to John, this precious word of the Lord, there's only one door, according to Christ's image, and Christ himself is the door. Many have found this claim to be true. They have found the door and have entered it and become the sheep of his pasture. Now we will stop there today and press on with verse 9 and 10 in our next session. So please go over what we have learned today and revise them, for these are precious truths from the Word of God. And that is why the Lord has impressed on us to study the Gospel of John. It is more and more so that we need to emphasize that Jesus Christ is not only a religious teacher among many other religious teachers. He is the door of the sheep, the only way to God, and at such a great price. So, let us now close with prayer. Our dear Father, thank you so much for sending our dear shepherd, your beloved Son, into a sin-sick world to bring us back to you, into the fold, your fold. May the Lord continue to care for us, our families, our church, and watch over our nation, Singapore. We pray for your protection and blessings as we leave. In the name of our mighty shepherd, our Lord Jesus. Amen.